李博士呢，原来是华人，之前呢都是在读今年的博士和硕士，但是现在可能也还是华人。然后从一开始呢，到加拿大就是开展木结构方面的研究。这么多年来，李博士一直是专注于研究木结构的抗震性能以及抗震设计啊等方面的工作，也是呢有很多研究成果是在国际知名的刊物上发表，得到了这个国际上同行的认可。那接下来呢，请大家跟我一块欢迎李博士给我们来分享他的研究成果。
Thank you, Xiaobin. I've been in Canada for almost 8 years, and Xiaobin, when he was doing PhD study, he was my office mate. So we've been sitting together for how many years? Almost 4 or 5 years. Yeah. So today it is a great pleasure for me to come back to Tongji to share with our future engineers some of my understanding of timber engineering, specifically on the seismic design of wood structures. So earthquakes are always big concerns for us, our structure engineers, because it can create a lot of damage when the structure or building are built on the seismic prone regions and countries, such as the west coast of North America, including Vancouver, where my university is located, and also the west coast of the US, Japan, and recently, unfortunately, a big earthquake happened in New Zealand, in the second largest city in New Zealand, Christchurch. So I don't know if you know the interesting story. In the New Zealand, actually there are Aboriginal people called Maori. They have this interesting Maori dancing. So in the Maori's mythology, people believe that earthquakes and volcanoes are caused by a master of earthquake and volcanoes. His name is Raumoko. Actually, this Raumoko, he was never born because of his movement in his mom's womb that created earthquakes. So of course we know that earthquake comes from something happened in our earth, under our ground. So basically, the structure engineers, we are interested in the ground motions caused by earthquakes, because these ground motions will create inertial forces in our building system or structure systems, which we have to pay special attention to design the structures to resist these such ground motions. So, three major effects we need to consider. These three effects will determine how intensive the ground motion. The first one is the magnitude. This is the measurement of the earthquake ground motions. How much energy is released from one specific earthquake. So usually we use this Richter scale. And the second one is the distance. We know that if the epicenter of the earthquake is far from the location of the building, so the building or the structure might experience less significant ground shaking. The third important aspect is the local soil conditions. So we know that shaking will be amplified in soft sediments and damps in hard rock. So it's better to build a structure or a building on a good soil conditions, for example, very hard rock. But unfortunately, most of the time we cannot choose the soil conditions, because usually the construction site is already determined. So for structure engineers, for the design purpose, we try to simplify our design procedure. Of course, we can develop complicated finite element-based dynamic models to study the structural response under the seismic load, for example. We can perform nonlinear time history analysis. and consider all the individual structural members and connections in the building systems. But this will be too time consuming and too complicated. So for the design purpose, we only simplified a building system into a single degree freedom system, for example, for this one-story building. And also for the multi-story buildings, we can simplify it into a multi-degree freedom system. But based on the assumption that we can lump all the structural mass on its roof level or on the different story levels. So, which will make our life much easier and simpler. We know that earthquakes do not impose external forces directly on our structure system. It is because of the ground motion. It creates inertial forces in the building system. So, as a designer, we need to know how much force will be created by this ground motion. We know that based on the Newton's second law, the inertial forces is calculated by the mass times the acceleration. So for individual stories, we can estimate how much inertial forces are created. Then we are interested in the maximum inertial forces, the base shear. So we start our building design from estimating the base shear. So the base shear is essentially the summation of all the inertial forces for individual stories. In the Canadian Design Code, the National Building Code of Canada, the edition of 2005, we use this simple equation to estimate the base shear. The base shear is just the multiplication of the design spectral acceleration, which is a function of the fundamental period of the building. And we consider the contribution of the higher vibration modes, which comes as the M sub V factor, come to play in this equation. Of course, we need to consider the earthquake importance factor. For example, if we try to build a school or hospital, we consider those type of structures are important, more important than the regular residential buildings. And of course, the total weight of the building. And then we consider the structure ductility, as well as the overstrength related force modification factor. Because we know that under large earthquakes, the building system will not always deform into the linear elastic range. Finally, it will deform into nonlinear range, so we need to consider the contribution of the nonlinearity. The first term is the design spectral acceleration. As I just mentioned, it also closely related to the site condition. Here are these factors: the acceleration-based site coefficient and the velocity-based site coefficient, considering the conditions of the soil. And then, in our design code, we can estimate the design spectral acceleration using these equations. So, in the design code, we can check the tables. For example, if the building is built in Ottawa, in Vancouver, so for different locations, you can check and find different values. These are two tables for engineers to select the different acceleration-based site coefficient as well as the velocity-based site coefficient. So from the site class A, which means the best quality of the site condition, to the very poor site condition, which might be the liquefiable soil. So we can see these coefficients start from smaller number to very large numbers. For these poor site conditions, the amplification is actually fairly significant. And then, as I just mentioned, we also consider the contribution of the plasticity. the nonlinearity of the building system as well as our construction material. So this one, the modification factor, the ductility factor, considering the energy dissipation through inelastic behavior of the structure. The second part, considering the dependable portion of overstrength, so-called reserve strength in the structure. Also, in our design code, for different type of seismic force resisting systems, you can find different reduction coefficients. For example, the most commonly used wood frame shear walls, the shear wall sheathed by wood-based panels, nailed by metal fasteners, it has fairly good ductility factor, 3, and the overstrength factor, 1.7. So you times these two factors, you might get approximately 5, which is very high reduction factor. Now, you get the base shear, then you decide to design the shear wall systems for individual stories. So you need to distribute the base shear through the height of the buildings. Here we use these simple equations. V is the base shear, F sub T is a kind of amplification factor. Consider the multi-story buildings, because we know that under ground motion, the top of the building might have some amplification effect. And the weight of the individual stories, the height of these individual stories, and the summation of all the weight of the stories times its height. But for most of wood buildings, if the fundamental period is less than 0.7 seconds, we can have the assumption that take this FT, the top amplification factor, equal to 0. Because for not very high buildings, such an amplification effect is not that significant. So this can also make our design a little bit simpler. Next, I'm going to show you some interesting video clips of shakeable test on low-rise wood frame buildings. This is part of the Curie Caltech project, test on the two-story wood frame buildings. And they use the earthquake ground motions from the 1994 Northridge earthquake, Canoga Park. It's in the Southern California. And it was found that this building performs pretty well. And again, in the same project, the Curie Caltech project, they tested a three-story wood frame building. But the difference is that you see these big, large openings, right? This kind of opening will create significant torsional effect in the building. So this torsional effect will amplify the structural response in the first story. I think they use the same earthquake ground motions as the previous two-story building. You will see that this building, the first story is pretty soft, right? Because of these large openings. So as a structural engineer, we have to pay special attention on this large opening. So fortunately, this building also performed pretty well in the ground motion. This is fairly exciting shake table test on a six-story building on the world's largest earthquake shake table in Japan. In Miki City, the shake table is called the E-Defense. Also, our U.S. colleagues tested this six-story wood frame construction. But this time, they used ground motions from the Northridge earthquake, but scaled up, the peak ground acceleration scaled up to 0.88G, which is very high, corresponding to a 2% exceedance probability in 50 years. So we know that it's 2% exceedance probability in 50 years corresponds to the return period of about 2,475 years. It's a very rare earthquake. This building also performed very well under that large earthquake. But unfortunately, the structural integrity of wood buildings under large earthquakes are not necessarily guaranteed. We have this failure of wood frame construction. This one and this one were taken from the Northridge earthquake. Because of this weak first story, the large openings, the building had a very significant amount of damage. And you see, the building might need to be demolished because of such a huge damage. And this one, unfortunately, originally it has three stories. And the first story was completely gone. And this building, this picture is taken from the 1995 Kobe earthquake. This is the traditional Japanese posan beam construction. It collapsed because of the weak first story. And this is the 2x4 construction we constructed in the Kobe area. It performed pretty well. So from this failure of the wood buildings, we can learn a lot how these buildings perform in the large earthquakes. So I hope you can learn something about the earthquake effects on the wood constructions. So keep in mind a few points about earthquake effects. The first one, earthquakes do not impose external forces directly, but impose displacements, velocities, and accelerations with highly varying frequencies. The second one, what happened at the epicenter is different from what the building will experience. We know that the distance, if it's far from the epicenter, there will be less effect on the buildings. And the responses in the different parts of the building also largely depend on the characteristics of the building itself. As we know that to estimate the design acceleration, the design spectral acceleration, this fundamental period of the building comes to play, right? So it is closely related to structure characteristics itself. So the last one, earthquakes are highly unpredictable. Therefore, we try to build structures that can absorb energy as much as possible to protect life and ensure structural safety. So the best way to study the seismic performance of wood buildings is to use the probability-based method, because we know that earthquakes are highly random events. And our structure capacity is also at a certain level of uncertainties. So the reliability-based method is give you the most reliable result and the best estimation of the seismic performance. Next, I will talk about the earthquake force resisting system in the wood construction. Basically, there were four types of such a seismic force resisting system used in wood constructions. The shear wall system, commonly used in the wood frame construction, and the braced frames, which are commonly used in the Japanese posan beam constructions. The third one, moment resisting frames, probably commonly used in the heavy timber construction, for example, glue line framing systems. And the last one, the hybrid construction, which can be the mixed up combination of the previous, these other three systems, or can be combinations of different construction material, for example, combined wood system with the steel frame systems like that. So shear walls are very important seismic force resisting systems in the wood frame constructions. So basically, for example, for most of the wood residential buildings in North America, And these buildings you will find, for these two-story buildings, OSB panel sheet walls functioning as shear wall system. And this is horizontal board sheet shear wall systems. And this is also kind of OSB panel sheet. OSB panel sheet shear wall system. This is the building I'm now where I live in Vancouver. Also, a very nice wood frame construction sheet by OSB panels. Actually, you can imagine in this building block, there were more than 100 units in this building. So we can imagine, right, even for the four-story wood construction, a lot of people, a lot of families can share this condominium. At QVC, we performed a lot of research on the performance of structural panel sheet shear wall systems. And in this particular project, we tried to study the performance of large panel sheet wood frame shear walls. We know that because of the limited size of normal sheathing panels, for example, 4 feet by 8 feet, which is about 1.2 meter by 2.4 meter size. So for the normal size of sheathing panels, we need to install the additional blocking members to transfer the load, the shear load from the upper panels to lower panels, right? But what if we use large size panels? We can reduce the discontinuity in the shear wall systems and improve the structural integrity. So, as we observed from the testing result of large panel sheet walls without openings, and compared with the regular panel sheet walls, the peak load almost doubled, and also the stiffness significantly increased. More importantly, the amount of energy has been, the amount of energy dissipation has been significantly improved.